जय माँ। आई थिंक इट इज मोर एंड मोर एविडेंट दैट वी आर एक्सपीरियंसिंग और विटनेसिंग मैसिव शिफ्ट ऑल ओवर द वर्ल्ड एंड नथिंग एंड नोबडी इज स्पेयर्ड। एज मदर गेव अ मैसेज नियरली 54 years बैक, मैन countries, continents, the choice is imperative. So what is the choice she gave? Truth or the abyss? So many of the events that we see today are compelling us to make a choice, and this is going to go on for quite some time, because as someone asked Sri Aurobindo, why does the divine give such a long rope? And he said, well, there is no other way to create Superman but to give a long rope. So a long rope has been given, probably still is being given. But as we come towards the end of the rope, we see more and more that humanity is the crude element. There are three elements of humanity which the Gita speaks of in the three gunas. The crudest elements will get a very bad hit. We may like it or not like it, but well, divine has an unfortunate habit of not consulting us in governing the world. Perhaps it's a good habit, but we feel bad because when our dreams crash, there is a chance for divine dreams to manifest. It's part of the same process. Then there are silver dreams. And silver dreams are, we all have wishes and hopes of, you know, what a beautiful life would be, where everything around us must change, but we shouldn't change. The world should become a beautiful place. My next door neighbor, my wife, husband, children, school, everything must change. But I'll stay what I am, and I must enjoy life the way I was. The age of silver dreams is over. They become evanescent. They come for a while, linger, and they vanish. And then we have dreams of an ideal world conceived by the human mind. So human mind has its own conceptions, what is called in India as the sattvic mind. Here again, man must live by certain principles, certain duties, certain rules, regulations. And when there is a time for great changes, then these very things which were our last hold upon our humanness, they are taken away, removed. We are reminded of the great vision of the Gita. It's very beautifully captured in one of the poems of by Jaishankar Prasad, and I cannot resist quoting originally in Hindi few lines, and then I'll of course translate in English. So Sri Krishna goes to Kurusabha and he gives them an offer. Take it or leave it. And they leave it. They don't take the offer. And then there is a it's because the event that we see all around it as if, we are reliving that moment in a different way. So the poet says, हरि ने तब हुंकार किया अपना स्वरूप विस्तार किया डगमग डगमग दिग्गज डोले भगवान कुपित होकर बोले हा हा दुर्योधन बांध मुझे जंजीर बड़ी क्या लाया है तू मुझे बांधने आया है यह देख पवन मुझ में लय है यह देख गगन मुझ में लय है एंड इट गोज ऑन इट्स अ वेरी पावरफुल पोयम सम ऑफ अस मे हैव रेड इट एंड इट गोज टुवर्ड द एंड सेइंग दैट वीरों से पटी हुई भू है तू देख यहां किस में तू है सो देर इज अ चांस दैट द डिवाइन गिव्स टू ऑल ऑफ अस मैन कंट्रीज कॉन्टिनेंट्स दैट अलाइन योर सेल्फ टू द डिवाइन विल दैट्स वॉट श्री कृष्ण मैनिफेस्टेड एंड दैट्स वॉट वी सी टूडे Align yourself to the divine will. And if you do not, already the fiat has gone. And the fiat is that either you align and ascend. Or else we go down to the abyss. This is what we are witnessing in the world, and this is going to increase more and more and more. These are just still the first tunings of the tabla, you know, before the actual raga begins. The master tunes the tabla. This is not yet the action, moment of action. It's still a choice being given. And what is that great event towards which now we are being hinted? We can see these hints, you know, where often people say dreams. So dreams, here dream is not in the sense of those rosy dreams that we all have. life will be beautiful, I'll have a lot of money and I'll purchase a good car. Those dreams have their meaning. But the real dreams here that Sri Aurobindo is speaking of is dreams of the Lord in the original sense of the Upanishads, where we have on one side the supreme will, transcendent, which is hidden beyond the cosmos. Even the gods know it not. What is the next thing going to be? They are following whatever will had entered into creation, let's say with the Krishna avatar, if we have to put it in a certain context. And they will follow it till the new dream enters into the earth, into the cosmic consciousness. And because earth is the stage on which these dreams have to be fulfilled, they begin to manifest. So it's a dream of the Lord, which makes it very special, because it will fulfill itself, as the mother says, speaks about our will. They are more true, much more true than the so-called hard realities of ground life. And I think Auroville is the best example. Often I take this, like when we look at 78 or 73 to 78 period. I think many people may connect with what I'm referring to. Murderous instincts, brutal tendencies. I've met some of those people fighting as if they are going to kill the other group. Matri Mandir was just a ditch, big ditch. I think some of us may have seen, worked here. And today now we see slowly the golden glory is rising out of this struggle. It's worth reading that whole history, how Auroville manifested. Why? Because it's a dream of the Lord. Dream of the Lord is not our dreams. This dream will imprint itself. It's straight, as the Upanishads say, the divine will entering into, or the knowledge entering into the cosmic consciousness, and then it ultimately manifests in the most outer layer. And this is what we are witnessing today. On one side, I think I'll not speak of the other four dreams, which has already been touched upon, that we see slowly the world is realigning towards what Sri Aurobindo has said. But one of them, which comes just before the fifth dream, India's spiritual gift to the world. See, it has not only begun. If we look to the left, if we look to the right, if we look to the east and look to the west, is there any place where one can say there is hope of a civilizational evolution to the next layer? And I'm saying this with all responsibility, reading all the stuff that goes on. Nowhere else except this land which has been prepared. Sri Aurobindo even says that in Yoga and its Objects, that when the divine wants for his Leela, that darkness must have its play. He says that in Yoga and its Objects. Then he puts India down and the yoga shrinks into a few caves and mountains. Yoga never dies in India because it's always there. It's a little flame that must flicker. Because materialism must also have its full play. That's the secret providence of things. And it has its own place and role. So it has its full play. And when in the divine wants now the world to rise, then that flame which was hidden inside begins to come out. Yoga begins to walk into the mainstream of life. Yogins stop withdrawing from the world and enter into the mainstream, open galleries, markets, trains, everywhere you'll see. Because this is how the whole process of new creation starts and takes shape. which we see happening. And then, of course, we come to that last dream, which is the subject for today. Because all the four dreams ultimately rest on this fifth one, not for completion, but for staying, enduring the drift of time and the clash of forces. And we are reminded of a little conversation which the mother had with Sri Aurobindo. She had prepared an overmind creation. All the great ideals that man can conceive, the great gods represent, and she had precipitated that into this world. And at that point of time, she goes to Sri Aurobindo and says that, well, this kind of a new order, world order is ready. And Sri Aurobindo says, yes, yes, I know it. This 1926. But this is not enough. We want nothing short of the supramental. And mother says that with my inner consciousness, I understood within 2 hours she had completely dissolved that, and then she had something very interesting. And now for the hard work. So in that hard work, the disciples started complaining because they were having lovely experiences. The core mind, they were feeling near to the gods, and suddenly all that was taken away because the roots are not deep enough, the foundations are not strong enough. So 1926 to today, it's 100 years, 2026, the foundations have been dug, and slowly we see brick by brick for the new creation, new world, they have been laid, and they are being laid. And where is this new dream being manifested? Because the last dream of Sri Aurobindo is basically the leap of human consciousness to a next level. Not just next level, to through levels to the ultimate supramental truth consciousness. It will be step by step. This is the final dream. In 1947, he said, this is still a distant hope. We must understand the context is 47. In 54, the mother gave that dream, which nowadays we use in Auroville. It's a dream for humanity. But it was given in 1954, where also she says the difficulties are formidable. Because in 1954, in the New Year message, she said that, well, no human will can finally prevail against the divine will. And then she said that 14 months are given, either this way or that way. Exactly 14 months later, the supramental manifestation began. So things have changed markedly because now there is this new consciousness, the supramental consciousness. Auroville has come later on, many things, Sri Aurobindo Society, many, many such things. And the beauty is that it is not only in places which have the name of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. It should be like that, it's wonderful. But this dream is manifesting in strange ways. Whether we like the author or not, in the 60s, we had a song, Imagine. I think some of us may have heard it. Another song, We Want No Education. Heard about it? In FMC, it was quite a hit when, you know, I was just studying that and I came across. Now, these people have no idea of, you know, that there is the super mind and there is something which is acting. So it's independent even of acknowledging. It is just seeing who is ready, who is not ready. That's it. There is a beautiful vision of the mother on 3rd February 57, soon after the supramental manifestation. There are 2-3 very interesting experiences about it. So there she sees that there are people, there is a huge boat, and it just reminds me of the pralaya in the previous era, that there is a huge boat, and on that boat she sees that there are people who are there, and there are two beings, the supramental beings, who are testing whether people are ready or not. Because we have our own idea of who is ready, who is not ready. So they are testing whether somebody is ready or not. And she says, it was not based on any external criteria. It was not based on how many days I fast, how many times I recite a particular mantra, nothing. They would see and see through. That's how she describes that as soon as these people came near them,
their consciousness became transparent to their vision and she could see. Some people have black spots somewhere and some have some part which is golden. And based on that, they were letting go or asking to return back. And then she says that I laughed for almost 2 hours uncontrollably because the criteria was none of the things that we imagine. So the new world is not going to be made according to my ideas. Thank God. My ideas are democracy, communism, this, that, hundredism. They have their place again. But something new, unprecedented in the history of the earth, which we have to still catch. Our ears are not attuned to it because we have read too much and therefore we have lost the wisdom which was always there in the heart of man. Our problem is we are too educated. Sri Ramakrishna foresaw all this and he said there is hope for two. The unlettered peasant. Hope for one of them. Second is he who, having read everything, he still feels that this is still limited. There is something else, something more. When our hearts reach out beyond the boundaries, that's how Mother describes this new kind of, how this new specie will come about. This is in her 1918 conversation. She says that the civilization that is ending now was built on the power of the mind. And it is collapsing. And she says that it was like a nightmare. Actually, many people may, when they say that, today is like a nightmare, I often say, please go back 40 years and you will see what nightmare was. Even in the so-called liberal country like the US, when Audrey Hepburn wore the full pant and shirt, it created news, sensation. How could she? She's a woman. Today, men can wear saris, for all you know. we may not like these things, but dream, as I said, divine does not manifest according to our ideas. What is important is that we should tune in what is it that he is wanting and wanting to create, because ultimately that will be fulfilled. For example, speaking about genders, we can at most think about gender parity and gender equality, which is human beings can, or a very clear demarcation, division. But in this dream, the new creation, the new specie will not have the distinction of gender. We may not like it. Divine is not in the habit of consulting us. Not only that, even physiognomy they have described. The pure feminine type is gone. The pure masculine type is gone. Again, these things had their usefulness. But what is going to come, even physically, the mother and Sri Aurobindo have described, and those of us who may wonder, how can it be possible? I can tell you just one of the things. There are studies actually on the physiology and physiognomy of a human being. One of the first things that changed when the monkey turned into a man, nine layers, Cro-Magnon man and so on and so forth. The first change was not something very big or huge. It was simply the thumb, which used to be like this, took this form. That's all. God had foreseen that man will one day handle remote. He will need this fellow here. He can't use a cell phone keeping it like this, no? So he, 1 lakh or maybe a million years back, or at least 1.5 million is, 15 lakh years is a conservative estimate, not those 5,000 years history. So this changed. Human beings are known by this special ability to handle remote and use the cell phone. But when it happened, nobody knew this is going to change the world. So this is how these dreams start. Little shift here and there. So are there shifts of that kind taking place? So there was actually a study unconnected with Sri Aurobindo and the mother. They didn't want to, they don't know. So they found something very interesting. And one of the things which was interesting was that, if some of us may know, that in old times, they were not taking women as pilots. And there was a reason, not just because they are women. That, of course, was a hidden covert thing. But they could justify it because the women were short in stature. So the cockpit could not be adjusted to, you know, it could either, a man could use it or a woman could use it. And more so in fighter planes, because in fighter planes you have to have this cockpit, this thing is so critical. Now, women are flying these fighter machines and everything else. Because, not because they did anything to the cockpit, because God did something to the womankind. You know, they are higher, taller. This is just an actual study. Hard facts. We may think it's a very insignificant thing, so what? But just like the change of the thumb, it changes the equation. The fact that, you know, you can look into the eyes and speak and not look up to the eyes makes a difference. This is the big, these are humble beginnings. That's how the divine does. He makes very small little beginnings towards a mighty end. He starts with an atom and makes a whole universe. That's how Sri Aurobindo describes. His mighty endings start with a humblest beginning, which justifies later on that, oh, that's how it starts. So at every level, there is an increase. I am just speaking of this fifth dream. That what is this fifth dream? The ascent of human consciousness. Because without it, there is no way that any of these other dreams can endure for long. Maybe 3,000 years. See, Sri Krishna came, and Sri Aurobindo says he came a little early. It was necessary, contingency of time. So when he came, he speaks about the ascent of consciousness, not exactly in that detail and those terms, but he does say that even after Nirvana, human beings can continue to, he speaks of the Jivan Mukta, which is so wonderful. But we see that Sri Krishna's dream, what he established, lasted when? Almost 4,000 years or maybe 3,500 years. Slowly it began to fade. And because great kings, they continued to safeguard India and the treasure until finally we see that towards the Sri Krishna's dream or what he established began to fade in the real sense, if you may say so, with the last embers on the Jhansi Ki Rani, her fire. And that's when, very interestingly, the revolutionaries in India began to read the Gita. It was like we have to take the dream to the next level. And we see the role Sri Krishna himself played in Sri Aurobindo's life. So when we speak about, one way to look at this whole thing is that it's something de novo appearing. But the other is it's a continuation of the original dream of the divine. What is the original dream? Is Eko Ham Bahushyam. The one wanted to become many. The original dream is unity in diversity. Mankind has tried for unity. It has tried to create brotherhood, but brotherhood based on uniformity. And we know, recently we are witnessing in the Middle East, all Muslims speak of brotherhood, but the Shias and Sunni fight to the, you know, last drop of blood. But that's not, cannot be. No cult, religion or sect can become a basis for brotherhood. Brotherhood can only come when we spiritually ascend to the next level and realize the one self hiding within all. That's what he is expecting and asking us to take. Because mentally, if we try to do it, any mental way, today or tomorrow it is going to collapse, because ego, there can also be the ego of the sadhak. At one place, the mother says, the most dangerous ego. There is a little story of Udar Pinto. You know, he used to look like a real royal great sage. Some of us may have seen his picture. So he went abroad and he was giving talks in America. And people said, Mother, he is making waves. News. People have started regarding him as a great yogi. So Mother kept quiet, smiled when Udar Pinto came back. Udar was the name given by Sri Aurobindo. So Mother asked, Udar, what is it that I am hearing? She said, what, Mother? You have become a great yogi. People are revering you and all that. He said, no mother, nothing like that. He said, very good. Otherwise, I would have broken your head. It may sound like just a casual repartee between mother and child, but she is saying something very deep and profound. Still, there is a line between the yogi and the ordinary life. And the new age begins when the weaver, the carpenter, it's the yogi who does that. It's not a separate something. In every activity, and there's an aphorism of Sri Aurobindo to that extent, when will the new world come? When in the clang of the tools and the hammer, we shall hear the music of these spheres. This is the new yoga which they have given to mankind, which is an extension of what Sri Krishna has given, but to another level, because Sri Krishna doesn't speak about the instrumental perfection, without which you cannot really... You can have the inner consciousness right, but if the outer instrument, the mind, the body, the speech, the life force, they are imperfect, they will never be able to manifest that divine perfection which one can experience within. And until it manifests and expresses itself through every possible activity, we cannot have a new creation. That's as simple as that. We can have inner liberation, we can have Jivan Mukti, but that's not enough. Sri Aurobindo wants that perfection, the divine perfection, from within to take part outside, spread outside. And Sri Aurobindo even goes on to say, there is a beautiful passage in the human cycle, the coming advent of the spiritual age, where he says, for the way humanity deals with an ideal is to be satisfied with it as an ideal. So it says, humanity pays a lip service. No, lip service, we are experts. You know, we have learned the art of marketing. We can sell anything to anyone. Spirituality is the most selling thing. So, but he says, but that's not what we want. Even he goes on to say that a symbol is nothing if it is not reproduced inside. And I have often taken this as a how to build the new creation, participate as a mother's symbol. That's it. What is at the center? Center is the divine mother. As long as ego is in the center. Now, previous mysticism has also spoken about it, but it stops there. It doesn't talk about perfection. For instance, when Kabir says that, you know, jab main tha tab hari nahi, jab hari tab main nahi, prem gali ati saakri, tame do na samhai. I love the mother, maybe a beginning, but after some time, you are drowned in that love. As another poet, I am sorry, this is a topic which just drives me crazy. She says, somebody said, Amare ke Krishna man bhare na, Amar anant Krishna dube chahi. I am not happy with one Krishna. I want to drown in infinite Krishnas. There is no one else. That's where it should take you, take us. As long as there is me, as long as there is I, this is not the real beginning of spiritual life. This I must really, I mean, at least the spiritual life we are talking of in the light of Mother and Sri Aurobindo. It must begin, it must be replaced by the psychic being, to say the least. Which is a beautiful child of the Divine Mother. Its only identity is with the Divine Mother. As long as I am this, that, from this place, that denomination. And she has wonderful ways of removing it. One of the benchmarks, like Auroville Ashram, one of the things you learn is when you are eating food, some people had objected to mother. You know, at one point, see, mother removed casteism in a very different way. I'm not talking of the inner truth of the caste, that's not the subject, but casteism. By birth, you are superior, by work, you are superior. She had a very simple way. And people eating in the dining room together. So somebody asked this to the mother. Mother made a remark, all my children are Brahmins. She said, whoever is seeker of the divine, they come together. This is one of the things which we learn in any satsang, any spiritual movement. That look, our life is only one identity, and it's the identity through the divine, from the divine, by the divine. Such should be our identity. This is the first fundamental step. And without it, there is no beginning of a true spiritual life. Forget about the supramental life. I mean, just the very beginning, the basic for the new creation is this, which poets have declared in their ecstatic moments. Chhap tilak sab chini mose naina milai ke. So the mystic is saying, my eyes gaze met yours. What did you do? I had apni chhap bana ke main peese milan gayi. Says that I dressed very well and everything. I should look nice when I am going to the divine guru. I should look nice. What you did to me? You snatched away everything, left nothing to hold on to except you. You see, when Singapore President C.S. Nair had gone, he was thinking, standing down below this lovely, I'll go and say, Mother, great lady, you have done great work, nice. Ashram is, you know, beautiful. He says, when I went in front of her, I forgot everything. I don't know what happened to me and I was lying on her lap. My head was on her lap. She didn't say anything. I forgot everything. And later on, of course, he became such a wonderful instrument of the Divine Mother in his own way. So this is the most difficult part in the mother's symbol. The mother is in the center. Everything else is secondary. In fact, the sooner it goes out of the window, the better it is. That's how new creation begins. New creation is not magic. That's the core must change first. Nalinda says in one of his writings, first thing that must change is the core. Everything else will find its place. And it's not something which is external. It's not like how many times one is standing before Shurbindo, how many hours one is meditating. It's none of those things. There used to be a sadhak who used to sit in meditation for a long time, and there was a dance program which was to take place, and they had to practice in the room below him. So he got very annoyed, and the sadhaks who had to practice for the dance, they went and complained, said, "Sir, give us mother, please give me some other place, because he gets very annoyed. He is upstairs and we are practicing downstairs." So Shurabindo's reply came, because they had written he is very serious and he gets disturbed. So his reply came, "Don't worry, you continue dancing, his seriousness will go away very soon." We cannot imagine that. It's a children used to actually play right below Shurabindo's room, where now meditation room is there. What were they doing? They were including everything as part of their consciousness and transmuting it. As long as this core is correct, we are ready for the next leap. If core is not there and we are doing hundreds of things outwardly, then we are still in the old creation. The distinguishing feature which Mother says throughout in the agenda later on, it comes very strongly. Tell the ego its hour is gone. Gone, gone. Tell the ego. Ego is all those other identities which we hold to ourselves. And till it remains, till it is not replaced by the Divine Mother's presence. That's the fundamental practice of yoga, fundamental experience, fundamental realization. And then we see all the four. This is the new creation, this her symbol, all the four powers of the Divine Mother. We are very happy doing the Maheshwari part, sitting quietly on wisdom's throne, like King Solomon. But look at how the Divine Mother's four power they teach us. It's not just in the mind's highest regions. Somewhere in meditation we experience something which can be a glow of the divine. But also when we engage in the battle and the struggle and the conflict of forces, Mahakali, straightforward, frank, impulses that are frank and straightforward, not mixed with other things, they too are a manifestation of the Divine Mother. Excellent preparation. And then she speaks of Mahalakshmi, that love which holds everything together, beauty, harmony in everything. And then finally, in the smallest activities, this is the age of Mahasaraswati, all of them prepare us for the new creation. So the mother's symbol it's not enough to, you know, wear it on the ring or put it in, some people put it in front of a scooter. So one day I just jokingly asked, he said, it will save my scooter. So I said, fool, it will save you, not just the scooter, even there. So anyways, people can do what they want to, but real thing is that it has to be reproduced inside. And that's what Sri Aurobindo reminds us in that passage from the human cycle of which we are speaking. A symbol is nothing if it is not reproduced within. Otherwise, a spiritual movement can be a boom, but it is a meaningless ticket if we don't live that life within us. That's the real, real challenge. It's easy to start a movement, and everywhere we see, and that's what the mother will not allow, because this is the supramental creation. She will not allow just a, in fact, she was asked that in the new world, what is it that will go away? She says, go away. She says, why should anything go away? Everything will be put in its place. So disciple is a little surprised. So he says, no mother, still some things may not be right or good. She says, what will go away is hypocrisy. Look at the world today. Children are stripped of that. They are the teachers. They will not do pranam just because you tell them better you do that. They don't like hypocrisy. They are what they feel deep inside. It may be true, wrong, that's our assessment. That's a passage, because she has said subjective age, we'll go through all this. But at least they will not do it based on an external compulsion. They will do, if they feel inside, they will give lot of respect to anyone. If they don't feel, whether it be father, mother, elder. So they have reversed the saying which was well known in ancient India. Matra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava. So normally it means treat your mother as God, treat your father as God, treat your teacher as God. So now they have taken a deeper meaning to it. Oh mother, be as a God. Oh father, be as a God. Father as a God, God as father is infinite patience. He allows us to flourish in freedom to fulfill what we are meant to do. God as mother is infinite love. God as teacher starts from where we are and takes us to where we are meant to be. So, oh teacher, be as a God. Not other way. That treat the teacher as God. So, the whole process now is changing. It's a life beginning from within outwards, which is what subjective life is about. And it is, so many changes are taking place of this nature, which are too many to recount. But I'll just touch upon, you know, couple of brief things. The age of authority is over. So, just one of them, which is very well known, though nowadays children say that, but I don't feel like it within. It may be right or wrong, that's a different, we are not discussing that, that they will go through this subjective evolution. They will not accept any authority. In fact, now not even the authority of reason. They have some kind of innate sense through which they connect. And I can say this with fair amount of experience with all kinds of children everywhere in the world. So one of them was when Swami Vivekananda, he must have been around less than 30, young man. And he gave a talk, and after some time, someone told him, but Shankaracharya doesn't say so. What is Swami Vivekananda's reply? He doesn't quote a scripture. He could have quoted. His memory was phenomenal, he had read. Remembers his reply? He says, yes, but I, Vivekananda, say so. It's amazing. I have my own experience to stay with. I, Vivekananda, say so. And Sri Aurobindo quotes it. He says, somebody may say it's egoistic, but he is simply, his right of what he has experienced and realized in his own life. This is the age which is going to come. We can only say, When someone asked the mother, "Mother, how to come down to the level of the children?" Speaking of school, she says, "Don't say that. Say how to come up to the level of the children." So if we are looking for this new age, for this spiritual ascension in some nice meditation retreats, people often say, "Oh, there is a nice meditation hall. Oh, there is." All that is old world. What is the point if it doesn't come in life? It doesn't manifest in speech. It doesn't manifest in feelings, in the heart, which must become vast enough to embrace the universe and could say with Sri Aurobindo, when he says, "I feel the stab, every stab and kiss within me." It's a true experience of the cosmic consciousness. We're still far from that. I am the life of the village and the continent, where one can be at ease, perfectly at ease, in the most upscale cities in the world, at the same time when one is moving amidst the so-called common folk. One of the first lessons of Sri Aurobindo in Alipur jail, he says, that idea that I have of Chhotlok, that's how it's called in Bengali. Oh, the menials. He removed that completely, Sri Krishna. He said, these are the people I am going to lift up. See exactly what Christ said at one point. The meek and the weak shall inherit the earth. What will happen to the mighty? They'll fight with each other and destroy themselves. We don't worry about it. So this is the new age where every thing is going to get upset. What about tendencies which we see today? Sri Aurobindo has foreseen all this in one of his poems in 1900, In the Moonlight. Moonlight stands for the highest spiritual light, and beyond that is the supramental light. So this 1900, somewhere in 1900, I'm forgetting the date, where he writes, it's a long poem, where he says, what we call sin is but man's leavings, as from deep within he goes on his pilgrimage. It's like when a rocket is fired, it leaves the smoke outside and the fire is inside, which generates the pull, push upwards. So we will see these things. We should not worry about it. Thankfully, the divine knows his task. He's the only fellow who knows his task. We are not here to counsel him what he should do. There are people who are in his counsel. As Sri Aurobindo writes in that poem on the Rakshasas, where all the, the seven stars which we speak about, who are the guiding light, they are also subtle beings who meet Sri Krishna. And it's about Ravana, but there is no Rama there, there is Krishna. And they go and tell him, when will this fellow is going to end? He says, see, he is needed. Why is needed? Because out of the animal, out of the Rakshasa, brute, Asura. Asura is Harvard University, where very intellectual terms you can try to fool. So he is Asura, very intellectual language. Huh? How many books and you get impressed, oh my God. Rakshasa is crude. He is saying the same thing. Sorry, I don't like to make any political statement, but it's what is called as today as urban Naxals. So you have a justification for certain things. So Asura provide the intellectual background. So he says it was necessary because you cannot leap from the Rakshasa to the man. And therefore 1,000 years he is going to last more. After that, at the end he describes Kali rises in the flame when Ravana is performing a sacrifice. And he says, I want immortality. He says, not granted. So he says, okay, if so, let me fall only to the animal or man. This is a story which is narrated in the Ramayana, but it's such a deep significance. The simplicity of the animal or the ascent towards man. And of course, now in this context, we can equally say the mother has foreseen it. She says it is something like what is there in the Last Judgment, that a time will come when humanity will undergo this kind of a fate. There is a perverted section of humanity and it is just going to collapse. You can do nothing about it. You may feel sad, cry if you want to feel sad. It doesn't make sense feeling sad, but still, it's just time to collapse. Because we are no more left to our own research. So that's what we read in Hour of God, no? That there are moments when divine doesn't leave us to our own resources, he acts. Then there is the next layer of humanity, which is more like the animal, simplicity of the animal. But they are human. It collapses back to the animal kind. That's where we see Asura being replaced by the animal. And then there is another layer of humanity, which is ready for the ascension. And ascend to the higher life. But it's not yet ready for the supramental. Very interesting. It's ready for the higher ascension, but it's not ready to give everything. What supermind requires is literally, you know, that Tagore's poem, Jake tumi bohite chaho apar premier bhar, eke bare sobe tumi ghochaye dao thar, na thake tar manapaman, na thake tar dhan. Karo tumi ekla akinchan. Now that very few are ready for that kind of complete shedding of the ego. But they are ready for, you know, various spiritual things will come up. Now we see all over the world many neo-spiritual movements, neo-Vedanta, all this is part of the journey. They will open to the teaching of Sri Aurobindo, but they are not ready to make the final leap. And she says, don't disturb, because that's part of it. It will become a higher harmonious humanity, which will become the step toward the new creation. But few are ready to undergo all the suffering that is needed, because purifying ordeal is an ordeal. Anyone who has gone through the path knows it. Last quote from one of the great mystics. He says, you want that truth? Okay. You have to love it. Then he says, but love is not easy. यह इश्क नहीं आसान बस इतना समझ लीजिए एक आग का दरिया है और डूब के जाना है. Sounds very nice, loving the divine, go do pranam, and if one sincerely falls in love, nothing else will remain except him. He will claim, mother would say that to one of her writings, and she says this to one of the teachers, the one of the persons who asked her. She says, never say to the divine that I am yours, because if he takes it seriously, then nothing can stand between you and him. He will snatch away everything and leave you. He'll snatch away everything and then give away everything. That's how Sri Aurobindo describes in his poem Mahatma. Nothing else will remain except him, within, around, everywhere. That is where we can say we are on the threshold of the new creation. If humanity can even reach that point where Sri Aurobindo in the Alipur jail, that is the peak experience that the old creation could give us, where it enters into the borderlands of the supermind, which Sri Krishna says, Vasudevam sarvamiti samahatma cha durlabha. If we can behold the divine presence, not only within, but in all, in every element, in the pillar, like Prahlad did, in the stone, I mean, that's what I see in Auroville. In the stones, taking music out of stones, in the plant, on the wayside man, in the person who is, you know, sitting quietly, in the beggar's robe, roams the one like Shiva. In all of this, the animal, all life, all creation, even in the person who is against, apparently against, standing against, there is a line of Sri Aurobindo in this self, oneself. My rival's downfall is my own disgrace. I look at my enemy and see Krishna's face. The day we can do that, then we are ready for the supramental world. After that, the rest is a cakewalk, easy journey. Okay, so that's about the sharing part. It's a vast subject. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alokda. Would you mind waiting one moment? Okay. For such a beautiful session, I invite Secretary Dr. Jayanti Ravi to felicitate the speaker.